Kind of interesting where the Lord carried me this week, and I've just seen so much of what I feel like that He has shared with me and showed me this week, and I really want to talk about culture, the culture we live in, and what our place and position is in that. You know, we're called to be culture changers. We're called to live out our life as Christians before this world so that they will see that there is something different, that there's something that we've got that they want. And in order to do that, you know, we have to press in. We have to step out. We have to do things sometimes that are a little bit risky if God's telling us to do it. But that's when things happen. And when you look at culture, it's defined as a set of standard attitudes, values, goals, practices that characterize an institution or an organization. I mean, families, workplace, neighborhoods, cities, all of these have a culture. And, I just begin to ask questions, who establishes these cultures? We do. Humans do. They set up the culture that they live in. And for some reason, the Lord reminded me of how Savannah is laid out as a city. You know, it's perfect squares around a park. And James Oglethorpe founded it. I just did a little research, looked at it in 1732. And he and co-planner William Bull is the one that laid that out. And a pattern after what it called London Town. And so it was kind of neat because I didn't know this, but it said the central squares on the east and west side, the land was set apart for public buildings and churches. And on the north and south sides, it was set apart for the residence part of it. And, they put that into effect. That's the plan. That's the way they built it and those kind of things. And, today, things have changed. The layout is still there, but even in the research, it said that there was three squares that have basically been demolished and changed to do something else. But what their intentions were, the fact that they laid this plan out and for things to be developed just this way affected the culture back then. But because culture has changed, because people has changed, now, even though the kind of blueprint, if you will, the streets, the squares are there, you know, it's different than what it was. And so it really didn't matter what the layout is. The people in that area are what determines that culture. And so when you look at what our role is, we're to change the culture. We're to change the culture around us. I know that quite often we talk about changing the atmosphere in a place. You know, you go into a place, it just seems so negative, and maybe you begin to worship or you begin to speak into that thing, you know, if you're kind of bold enough to do that, and all of a sudden it changes. That's who we are. That's who we're called to be. And it comes down to us realizing and recognizing who we are. And the fact that we have the ability to do that. You know, and I love that with the testimonies this morning, because that's what's happening. When you go out and you usher somebody to the car, you know, and God opens the door for you to be able to pray for them. I went Saturday. My dad lives in Rents, and he called me and asked me to go out. This guy's got a tractor for sale out in Applin. So I went out and looked at it, took some pictures and sent it to him for him. And as I was starting to leave, we just had such a good conversation, me and this gentleman, and just kind of struck a lot of notes together, talking about hunting and dove hunting and some things like that that, you know, I just love. But anyway, as I started to walk off, he said, "I was going to tell you that Jesus loves you, but you know that, don't you?" You know, and just in the middle of that conversation of just us kind of getting to know each other and sharing history and that kind of thing, God uses those things in our lives, and we are to influence the culture. I understand. Well, listen, when I first went to Haiti, I thought I was God's gift to Haiti. I had this American culture that knew how to do it better than anybody else. And I got over there and I looked and we were building things, and they would take a handsaw and they'd draw their line and they would take that handsaw and saw what was backwards to me. You know, usually we go this way. Well, they were going with the teeth away from it, sawing away from it. And I said, man, who taught y'all how to use this thing? You know, that's not how you use it. And the more I watched them and begin to look at it, when they turn it around backwards, they can follow that line. When you got it this way, the line's hid under the blade and you can't see the thing. So, you know, it's just, and I mean, they could saw a straight line. But I mean, there's so many things like that that was a different culture. And sometimes we think that we have better answers. But the point of it is, as a Christian, we do have better answers in the Christian walk. And that, when you think about it, what does that mean? How is that affected? Well, if we live and walk with the fruits of the Spirit as we go through life, people will begin to see that. People know if you've got joy or if you're a grouch. They know if you have kindness or if you're a horse's patoot, so to speak. You know what I mean? You know, all the fruits of the Spirit is what we are as Christians to live out life, so that as other people look, they'll see that. And they'll desire it, or they'll say, man, what in the world's Kim got that I don't have? How come she's always so full of joy? And when we live life the way that God created us to live it, we will change the culture. I mean, listen, if when you look at the culture of the United States, you know, if you've been living very long, you know that culture has changed. I mean, we got technology that has, you know, keep us from really talking one-on-one to each other. We talk, this is how we talk nowadays, with our fingers. And there's so many things that are happening out there, but we as Christians cannot back off of who God's called us to be. You can still use technology and still be a Christian, okay? But to use it and to give Him glory for things that are happening in our lives draws people to Him. Lisa, you know, mentioned her testimony, and we said it's not about what church you attend. It's what you got inside of you. It's knowing who you are. It's knowing who Christ made you, who God made you to be. And when you know that and you walk in that in every aspect with integrity and truth and, you know, love and compassion and those things for other people, people recognize that. It makes a difference. You know, in Deuteronomy, it talks about how the Israelites left Egypt and they went to the desert. And you know that that they wandered around for how long? 40 years, right? You know how long of a trek it really was to get to the promised land? Yeah, 10, 11 days, something like that. Not long at all. Why did they have to wander around? Now, I know that there was rebellion. You know, they didn't trust God. They murmured, they grumbled, and all that kind of thing. But there was also something else that took place that they had to get rid of. For 400 years, they lived under slavery. And they had a slavery mentality. That's what they had. They had to get rid of that slavery mentality to be able to move on into the freedom, the things that God had for them. And see, if we submit's not the word I'm looking for, but if we let the influence of the world culture on us, press into us, and really kind of adopt it, if you will, then we're not influence culture the way that God wants us to do that. We need to get that off of us. We need to not have the world's culture on us. It says, oh, I can't say that because I might offend somebody. You know? I mean, you look at it today now, and I was just thinking about this, that it's like every other religion and entity has a place in our culture, but Christianity is being pressed. It's being pressed. It's being squeezed. You know, and I mean, that's a devil thing. I just believe that's trying to keep that us from being the freedom that he's given us. So they didn't know how to live in freedom. In fact, even, you know, they murmured to the point, says, let's go back to Egypt. Good grief. What? They couldn't remember that they just walked through the Red Sea on dry ground? They couldn't remember having to live under that oppression and having to make mud bricks without straw, and the demand kept going up and all the pressures, but they wanted to go back to that because they had that slave mentality. That was the culture they lived under, and that's just kind of, okay, this is where I know how to live. Well, that's not what God's called us to. He doesn't want us to live under the oppression and the things of this culture, of this world. He wants us to be culture changers and bring what he's taught us, who he said we are, into the world, into our life. I just jotted down a few things that I felt like that some things that we need to know and value as we do that. And the first is, you got to know who you are in Christ. That's the first thing. You got to know who you are. And we talk about that quite often. We talk about the identity, who God says that you are, who he made you to be, the fact that he's got a plan and a destiny for your life. Second, you must know that God is good and his grace extends to you every day. He's a good God. He wants good for your life. Even whenever you mess up, he still wants that. The third thing is, you must know that God loves you and wants great things for your life. I know some of these are overlapping, but you got to know that he loves you. And if he loves you, he is not there holding a big stick over your head waiting for you to mess up to be able to pop you with it. That's not who he is. We must continue to have a renewed mind, because we live in a world culture that wants to influence us, that wants to cause us to go in a direction that really is contrary to the Word of God. I mean, just like the Israelites needed a renewed mind. They needed to get rid of that slavery mentality. You got to trust God. You got to trust what he says. What he says about you. And I wrote these two down, and I had second thoughts about it. And that's prayer and Bible reading. And the reason I had second thoughts about it is sometimes we make a checkbox out of those. Yeah, I prayed today. I read my Bible today. And that's not what prayer is. Prayer is a communication with God. And that communication and that relationship is what helps solidify us and helps us to be culture changers. And the Bible is good. Please hear me. I'm not throwing the Bible out here. The Bible, when we read it, it reaffirms, it tells us the character of God, who he is. And so I didn't want to put them in a place that done that kind of thing, because that's not what it is. It's a resource that he's given us to say, hey, you want to know who I am? Read this. This is who I am. This is what I said about you. This is who you are. I know you might think, well, man, how can I affect the culture? And you know what came to mind? The old saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. But you know what? If we were all biting on it, we have a little more influence, don't we? Yes, you may be one individual, but you're so much more powerful than what you realize that you are. When you trust in who God says you are and walk and live in who He's called you to be. You know, this thought's just going through my mind. You know how earthquakes are measured on, is that the Richter scale, is that what they call it? And like a 3.0 and a 6.0, it's not just double. It's exponentially, and Tom probably knows what that exponential is. It. Like 10,000 times. Listen, that's who we are. When we realize who God's called us to be, this ordinary old Donnie here is exponentially increased in power and influence. And when we realize that, we are culture changers. We can change culture of what's happening around us and not give in to it. Romans 12:3 tells us, do not be conformed to the world any longer with its superficial values and customs. I'm reading the Amplified version. But be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes. See, that's how you change culture, is you live godly values and have godly attitudes. Regardless, when somebody does something that ticks you off, how you react is what will change the culture. It seems like when you first think about culture changing, it seems like it's so big, it's so enormous, that it's so much bigger than me. But when you realize who you are and the power and the influence that God has given you and wants to work through you, we can affect the culture. We can affect the culture. That first step is knowing who you are, knowing the fact that you are capable of doing that. And then as you go through life, just let God lead you and direct you. When you live and trust God's words and principles and ethics, you will be a culture changer. To sit back and just say, oh, that's just how it is, it's not acceptable. You know, oh, well, that's just how they do it in the United States. Or, oh, that's just how they do it in Haiti. No. This is how God says to do it. And this is the way that we want to do it. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. It doesn't matter where you are along in the process. You say, well, maybe when I mature a little more or when I learn a little more or whatever. No. If you've accepted Christ, you've got the ability to be a culture changer right there, right at that point. God will shape you and mold you and maybe even make you more influential in certain areas than others, but that's who He's called us to be. And I just want to encourage you this morning, be a culture changer. Be a culture changer. Live the things that God's called you to live. Live the principles that He's called us to live. Lindsay was talking about how God just showed her that, hey, He made everybody. Now, I understand there are some people that at the state that they're in are not quite as lovable as other people are. But if you can see them through the lens of this is God's creation, maybe they haven't come to know the Lord yet, but there is something in them that is waiting to be pulled out because God put it in them. And when we can do that, not live in judgment towards them, but live in love towards them. It'll change the culture. Let me pray for you this morning, okay? How about just standing up with me? Okay, Tom.
This is just a quick testimony to changing the culture. And this happened to me back in the 1990s. God was talking to me as I was sitting here listening to this. He says, the way you change culture is you change the atmosphere. The culture is the long-term thing. The atmosphere is a short-term thing. And I used to remember I worked out at Savannah River and worked with a large, very large group of guys. And most of us would try to have lunch together in this big meeting room. And it was a challenge because most of the guys I worked with, like myself, were ex-Navy nukes. And if you've been around a lot of sailors at one time, they tend to be a little crude in their conversation. I know that from experience, having been that way myself until God refined me. But, you know, I didn't feel in my heart that I needed to try, even being the leader of that group of people, trying to change the way they conversed. It was a little hard to take for me, but, you know, the main thing I tried to do was not to involve myself with that kind of conversation, but still be a part of lunch and you know, enjoy having, you know, I like these guys. I worked with them every day. And, you know, I noticed one day I walked in there and the Lord began to show me. He said, I want you to listen. And actually, it was before I got there. It's like when I would walk down the hall, I could hear that stuff going on. And then when I would walk in the room, it would stop, and it didn't start again. And the Lord said, the only thing that you had to do to make that happen was to be in a relationship with those guys and allow the light, you know, the God that's in us, that we carry around, to be present, to change the atmosphere. But over a period of a couple of years, we changed the atmosphere day to day, but eventually I changed the culture of the lunchtime meeting without me doing anything other than sitting there and eating my lunch and letting the presence of God be in that room.
Amen. Yep. That's who He made us to be influencers. So, Lord, I just thank You that You have called us, You have equipped us to be culture changers. Lord, that we don't have to just sit back and say, oh, that's just the way it is. But Lord, by living for You every day, by allowing your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace and the fruits of the Spirit be an active part of our life in every situation that we're in, Lord, we will affect the atmosphere and the cultural change. Lord, we don't have to succumb to the demise of the culture that we see around us, Lord. But You have put us here to infiltrate and to change that. And so, Lord, I just pray, first of all, that we would recognize and see ourselves as culture changers. And that we have an important place in this kingdom. And when we live for You, and when we let that shine, Lord, we don't have to stand on a street corner and hold up a sign that says, turn or burn. We just got to live the life before You. And people will see it. When that light shines in us, it draws people to You. And so, God, help us to be ever aware of that place that You've called us to, Lord. I think it'll give us more boldness as we go forward if we do that. Because You've equipped us. And You have given us so much more than we even recognize that. But, Lord, You're revealing to us every day who we are and what You've placed in us. And others around that can see that. So, Lord, we thank You for that, and we thank You that we are lights that You send out into all parts of the world. So we bless You today, and we give You glory and honor for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Go culture changers. change the culture.